Well, through the encouragement of Tolkien, Barfield, and many other sources that you'll find in your course book, Lewis finally, in the year 1929, became a theist, not a Christian yet, but believed in God. And interestingly, he became a theist 1 year after his father died. And the same Freudian psychologist who made a lot about his mother make a lot about this idea of sort of patricide or something and becoming a Christian. You can decide what you will on that. But it is interesting that a year after his father died, he became a theist. Then 2 years later, in 1931, when he was about 33 or so, he became a full Orthodox Christian. Lewis's newfound faith changed him completely, and he quickly composed a fictional account of his conversion called The Pilgrim's Regress, and we'll talk about that in Lecture 2. It's not quite as successful as his other works, but it's very well worth reading, and it's fictionalized, and it's an allegory of himself coming to Christian faith. Well, again, the book was indifferently received, but it began Lewis on a prolific writing career that gained him fame with the critics and the public alike. And I want to show you over the next 15 years, look at what he wrote. Over the next 15 years, he wrote several works of literary theory, a trilogy of science fiction novels, philosophic studies of pain and miracles, and literary studies of temptation and heaven and hell, and finally, a critique of modern education, all in 15 years while he was busily working at Oxford. Everything he wrote, whether sacred or secular, was guided and invigorated by his Christian faith. So even if you're reading something that has nothing to do with Christianity, his Christian faith is there. It invigorated. He would not have been the writer he was had he not become a Christian. It invigorated everything. In fact, during the dark days of World War II, the government hired Lewis to do a series of broadcast talks about Christianity to sort of, you know, help the soldiers and whatnot and talk about morality and ethics. And they were very successful, and everybody listened, from intellectuals down to the bloke at the bar. There's a story that Lewis came on the radio, and the bartender said, "Hey, quiet, everybody, listen to this bloke. He's really bright." And they just loved him. And later on, those broadcast talks were collected as Mere Christianity that we'll talk about in Lecture 3. Lewis honed his apologetical skills even more when he became the president of the Oxford Socratic Club. And I wish I'd been a fly on the wall for that. This was a club where Christians and atheists, or at least agnostics, faced off. They would take an issue, say naturalism or miracles, and a Christian would give a paper, and an atheist would give a paper, and they would sort of, you know, debate it. But what everybody went to hear was after the reading of the papers, Lewis would come up and just basically tear apart the atheist. And it was a lot of fun. Maybe if you weren't an atheist, it wasn't fun. But the audience loved it, and Lewis really got on a roll, if you will. Finally, Lewis's style was further honed by the Inklings. And this was a group founded by Lewis and Tolkien, and it was a reading group. These professors would get together, and they would read works in progress. The Chronicles of Narnia, the Lord of the Rings was first read in this group called the Inklings. It wasn't particularly spiritual, though most of the members were Christian. It was more of an opportunity to encourage each other in what they were writing. And lots of people have followed suit and formed their own Inkling groups. One of my own students at HBU has done that. Finally, in the early 50s, he wrote his beloved Chronicles of Narnia, to which I will be devoting 3 lectures for those of you that love Narnia. All right, let's move on. In 1954, remember, Lewis never got a professorship at Oxford, but in 1954, he was elected chair of medieval and Renaissance literature at Cambridge. And oddly enough, he was at Magdalen College there, too. They spell it with an E at the end, but it's Magdalen College again. But Lewis so much loved Oxford, the city of Oxford, that although he worked during the week, every weekend and every vacation, he commuted back to Oxford to live in his house called the Kilns. The Kilns is what Dove Cottage is to Wordsworthians. It's a mecca now that people go to. Now, about this time, early to mid-50s, Lewis befriended and later married Joy Gresham, a divorced American Jew whose youthful flirtations with atheism and communism had given way, partly through Lewis's apologetical works, to a firm Christian faith. Now, in Lecture 12, our last lecture, I will give you a full description of this most amazing courtship and marriage. Those of you who have seen the wonderful film Shadowlands, starring Anthony Hopkins, will know the story, the true story, of Lewis and his wife, Joy. I will talk about that in the last lecture. Let me just mention that after 3 years of marriage that were very happy, Joy died of cancer, just as his mother had done. Lewis was devastated and wrote a moving account of his grief called A Grief Observed, and that will be the last work we look at in Lecture 12. Finally, as I mentioned at the opening, Lewis died on November 22, 1963, just 1 week shy of his 65th birthday, again, on the same day as John F. Kennedy. So almost nobody even knew that C.S. Lewis has died. Again, I want to say how excited I am to be doing this series. I hope you will stay with me. I hope you will put your thinking caps on, and you will be ready to be challenged in a way, perhaps, that you have not been challenged before.